We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I talk with David Fiorones here. He covers the Dolphins for the Sun Sentinel. He is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. What do we know, David? I'll start with Vic Fangio. Fangs. We are big fans of Fangs. I don't know about him, but we like the nickname. So from what we saw, he was interviewing with the Dolphins yesterday. Do we know where the interview took place, if it took place, how it went?
I think all those interviews take place at Dolphins facilities, at Dolphins headquarters. So I believe it would be just like any like the head coach interview rounds that were made last year, all of the above. So, no word on how it went, we know he is one of Mike McDaniel's targets. McDaniel, that's the guy he wanted last year as he was coming in, but ultimately it worked out where Josh Boyer was retained, and then we saw how that went this year, and then now the Dolphins are looking for the coordinator again. So Fangio would be my top target. So I'm on board with you and a fan of Fangs.
And you, like you just said, you think Fang's the answer, because Boyer had him, you know, top 10 2 years ago and the year before that actually, and then now it fell off. You don't think the fall off was become because of ability and injuries, because Byron Jones is out, Brandon Jones is out, you know, there's a bunch of injuries in that secondary. We were playing unrestricted free agents. Fangs can take those guys and take them back to the top.
Yeah, I think probably when you look back at this season, it's twofold. Sure, yeah, there were a lot of those ready-made excuses. I mean, Byron Jones, you never had him. That's a lot of what Josh Boyer wants to do, is being able to have those corners that you just leave on an island and then you free up extra defenders. We always talk about how he loves to bring those exotic blitzes, even from the safety position. And he didn't really do all that much. But kind of in a sense, Boyer was sort of a one-trick pony in that way, in that he didn't make adjustments to having different things that he could do with his defense and look for different ways to run an effective defense. And end of the day, the big question for Boyer going into this past season was always going to be, can he do it without the backing of Brian Flores? He always had Brian Flores to lean on in the previous seasons. Flores, we know, has a defensive background, and they go way back together, going back to their New England days together. So that was really Boyer's first chance to be given the keys to the defense solely. And then we saw that the defense was second to last in takeaways and upper 20s it ranked in a lot of other categories. So there were excuses. There were a lot of injuries. Ogba, Brandon Jones, never having Byron Jones, Nick Needham. But also – the adjustments throughout the season to what he did have available didn't seem to be made outside of a few key examples, but not consistently enough.
It was a great question. I read this on the show yesterday. There was a great question that was tweeted to you yesterday, which was, will Tua be cleared for action by time for the Pro Bowl games? Do we, because in the Twitter answer, you said, you know, we don't get daily updates anymore because he's not playing. Do you have any idea?
Yeah, right now I do not know where he stands in concussion protocol. Last we heard it, he still wasn't cleared to practice on the field. Now, if you ask me, if the Pro Bowl games are just this glorified flag football game, or not even glorified, it's actually a flag football game, then I feel like you don't need to get through five stages of concussion protocol to play in that. I don't think there is anything in the NFL rules to specifically state where a player needs to be in the protocol to be allowed to play flag football, but I say if he's able to play and willing to let him go back out there, but I don't know if he will, given that, well, I mean, he is essentially going to be that first alternate because both of the remaining AFC quarterbacks, one of them's, they're both in the Pro Bowl, and one of them's got to go to the Super Bowl, so essentially Tua has clinched that spot, so that'll be something to watch going into Pro Bowl weekend.
Wouldn't that be a bad look? Because we talked about it yesterday. I didn't think it was realistic till now we're speaking about it. Wouldn't that be a bad look? Like, people are talking about this guy should never play football again, and now he's out there running around with his friends playing in the backyard. Like, shouldn't he be somewhere, I don't know, drinking kombucha?
Man, you got to rip the Band-Aid off, man.
But probably for his own right. Yeah, he should just call it a season. The season's over, and couldn't play in the last three games due to concussion protocol. Don't go play in the Pro Bowl. So I think he would still get credit for being a Pro Bowler once you are the first alternate, and then you get in. But then if you can't go either, then they go to the next guy. And I think that'll work out for him in that regard. But aside from that, yeah, I agree with you on the optics of it in itself. But also, a flag football game is just like a non-contact practice too. So if he were to be cleared to be able to do that by now, then why not just play a flag football game that's an exhibition for the fans?
I was saying yesterday he should play with a helmet on. Everybody else has no helmet, and he plays with one of those big concussion helmets on. Just better optics, Crowder. There's the optics you're looking for. Look at how seriously he's taking head injuries.
There you go.
When it comes to quarterback, because I think we've talked to you, Chris Greer was pretty clear that Tua is going to be the quarterback next season, and I like that. Is there any thought that the Dolphins would be in the market for Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, or even Lamar Jackson?
Right. I don't see it personally. I know why the question comes up, because even though the Dolphins made a similar proclamation early last offseason, then you still see them, well, they were proven to have continued to tamper with Tom Brady last offseason once the violations came down and the ruling came down from the NFL where the tanking allegations were unfounded, but then the league did say that the tampering allegations were true, and even noted the Dolphins doing it as recently as 2022 with Tom Brady. So will they stay true to their word? I feel like it just also makes sense with Tua, given his rookie contract. You're going into year four of that 4-year rookie contract, and then the bigger question becomes a 5th-year option. Do you want to do that this offseason and then get him for the $22 million number for the 5th year? I wouldn't go as far as doing some long-term extension right now, because you need to see him stay healthy. But his play when he was healthy, I feel like, did earn Tua this next season. And then I would more so look at what veteran option you might want as a backup quarterback, whether you're bringing Teddy Bridgewater back or you're looking at another veteran to be that QB2, or if you think even Skylar Thompson could be elevated to QB2 right now after he played in a playoff game. So I would personally like another veteran to back up Tua, and then be ready in the instance where Tua gets hurt again, and then have Skylar as a third quarterback option again after he got into some games as a rookie.
And to that point, can you – like, I'm with you. I said that too. I don't think Teddy's here. I think they bring in another veteran. But do you bring in a guy good enough to compete with Tua? Because it's that fine line of bringing – like, if you bring in Fitzpatrick again and we see him, Tua – his shoe falls off and he has to leave for a series, and the guy goes in and balls, and now there's that quarterback controversy. Do they want to bring in a guy good enough to Miami to create a quarterback controversy, David, or do they want to bring in a guy good enough to finish a game if Tua can't play?
Yeah, I think the latter. I think you want to bring in a guy that's reliable, a veteran, a guy who's got some games under his belt to be his backup, And everyone wondered the same thing when Teddy Bridgewater was brought in, because he was a starter the past two seasons, has been a starter with the Vikings, was a top backup behind Drew Brees in New Orleans. But everyone wondered, well, could Teddy Bridgewater even be better than Tua? And then when Teddy got on the field, then I think we saw that the offense ran much more efficiently with Tua running it. So, I think you're looking at someone to back him up and not necessarily compete with him going into 2023.
David Fironas from the Sun Sentinel is with us. Give a letter grade to Mike McDaniel for his first season. Now that we've, you know, been through it all, playoffs have come and gone, you can really look back on the season. What's the letter grade?
A letter grade. Maybe I'd go in the B-minus range. I think he did a lot with the offense. He worked a lot of wonders for Tua, unlocked a lot of things in his game. So that was a big thing that the Dolphins wanted in this hire when they made it almost a year ago to the date. So he was successful in that regard, worked the offense well. Now we did see a lot of the mishaps in game management, which really came to fruition in the wild card playoff game against Buffalo. So sometimes maybe taking too much pride in that offensive genius that we know him to be, and then where he's looking for the perfect play instead of just the play that you need in that moment and being quick and timely with those decisions. So I think that's where you need to see him make some improvements. A lot of the game flow stuff, like challenging calls. He was 0 for his first 5 before finally having a successful challenge. So those are some of the first-year head coach pickups that he needs to now get over. And now he'll go ahead and make an off-season of his own hires after doing so on the offensive side, more so on the defensive side. He's going to get to hire this defensive coordinator after retaining Boyer as a holdover from the Brian Flores era. And then now he'll have his fingerprints on that decision. So now we'll really get to judge him on more deeper things in his head coaching tenure.
And there was a rumor about Saquon Barkley. Could they make a big splash? Like, do they need to make another big splash in free agency? Because, like, Saquon, I would love it. Saquon's a monster. But they just had Tyreek, you know. I guess they get a little money back because I don't expect Mike Gesicki to be here this year. But can they and should they go out there and try to, like, get another big name, another big contract to get this thing, you know, over the edge when they have their window? Because, you know, David, everybody has a little window. And I think the Dolphins have a little window right now they got to capitalize on.
Hey, as a player, I love Saquon Barkley, too. I know general manager Chris Greer is not worried about the cap restraints and the flexibility. The team can always clear some of that up. Executive Brandon Shore will be restructuring deals, looking for some trade partners. Surely there will be some contracts that get cut. You can save money with the extend Christian Wilkins, then backload some of that money, and then in the short term it works better against the cap going into this next offseason. But so there's a lot of things that the team can do to clear up the cap space. It won't be the number that 16 million under the cap that you stand at currently. So then it becomes a matter of where do you want to prioritize what you do free up. Do you need to look to upgrade an inside linebacker or cornerback, find yourself a replacement at tight end that fits the system better. At running back, could you run it back with Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson combination, which although the Dolphins didn't run the ball as much for the totals in rushing that maybe you want, the combo was pretty efficient, especially that second half of the season that they were together, and they're two guys that know Mike McDaniel's system well from San Francisco. And when you look at the season rushing totals, you also have to account for the first half where Chase Edmonds was part of that mix and didn't really mesh well with the system, with the offense. The wide zone was something new to him. He was more inside zone his whole career. So then you really look at that second half and you think, hey, it could be more affordable to go with some option like that. Maybe bring back one, look for a slight upgrade at the other, and then determine, okay, do you want to do your big spending looking for a running back like Saquon, or keeping what you have at running back, and then maybe you could use that some of that money upgrading at different positions of need.
But the basic expectation is there's not going to be a huge, splashy offseason. They got rid of Josh Boyer. They're going to hire a defensive coordinator and probably the – and we don't expect him to be in the market for a quarterback if we believe Chris Greer. I do. So is the biggest maneuver, you know, getting Christian Wilkins extended? Like, you're not expecting – if they were in the market for Saquon Barkley, that would be a surprise.
Yeah, probably so. So, I mean, I would think some small tweaks. I think a lot of the big splash moves have already been made, which last offseason, signing a Teron Armstead, trading for Tyreek Hill at the trade deadline, trading for a Bradley Chubb. So probably more so the smaller moves and the tweaks with maybe the potential of one bigger splash-type move if enough is cleared and the situation's right.
All right. There you go, David Fioronis, Sun Sentinel. We appreciate it. We'll keep an eye open. Fangs, is that the number one target? We think that'll get done?
Yeah, well, that's my number one target. I'm leaning towards. Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna be optimistic. Yeah, I'm saying yes. But the other targets are some good guys too. Between Chris Richard, Sean Desai, and Anthony Campanelli is an internal target. He's up there as well. So. But Fangio would obviously be the top choice in that group.
Well, David, help us out, man. You know we're gamblers. Who's winning this weekend?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. I'm going with Bengals in the AFC, and I was torn earlier this week with the Eagles 49ers, but I'm going with the Eagles, especially after seeing what they did coming off the bye. And the long travel for San Francisco, going to Philly and losing 3 hours, and also playing a day later than Philly. So I'll go with the Eagles to win at home and get back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think those are our picks, the Eagles and the Bengals, right? And
then, there we go.
I think I like the Bengals to win the Super Bowl in that matchup, by the way, if it came to that. Ooh. Anyway, putting the cart in front of the horse there, David. I think I'm trying to read the tea leaves a little too early. All right, David Fioronis. David Fioronis from the Sun Sentinel. Thanks, David.
Always appreciate it, guys.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.